All right. Good morning. I get the privilege of speaking this morning, and Joshua chapter 24 is word on me. Joshua chapter 24. It's obvious that I'm obligated to speak about your New Year's resolution, and since it's a new year, I'm gonna talk about it, but kind of not. What I mean by that is, I guess we're gonna talk about big picture stuff for the kingdom, and then you make the resolutions that you want to make. So we'll do it for me like that. I'm not here to say, these are the biggest ways, anything like that. I'm going to be a cheerleader, encourage you to be open-minded, and you guys can do the rest. Joshua chapter 24. Before I read it,
you know, anytime you get the, you feel obligated but slightly gypped, you know, because you gotta stay to that tech, that context of that thought of the resolution. But so there was a little boy, and he asked his dad, "Hey, Dad, I got a riddle for you." And he said, "Okay. There's three frogs sitting on a tree branch over a pond. Okay, got it, son. One decides to jump off. How many are left?" "Two." "Wrong," he says to his dad. He goes, "Well, what do you mean?" He's like, "Guess again." He's like, "Okay, well, one decides to jump off, so the other two decide to jump off, so there's none left on the branch." And his son's like, "Nope." He's like, "One decided to jump off. All three were still there." And I thought it was interesting because that seems to be how resolutions work. Even though it's resolution means you're resolved, it don't always work out like that. Maybe it sounds like last year's resolution, where you were like, "Yeah, I'm deciding to do this. I'm going to lose weight. I weighed in last night. Did not work out like I planned," just so you guys know. I partially blame Jackie, but we'll keep that to a minimum. And, of course, it isn't my fault. But great inspiration and great resolutions, oftentimes we only decide to do something instead of get it done. Months later, we're still on the limb. And, I want to be an encouragement that that's not the case this year. A lot of times we make resolutions and promises to be a better person in the new year, and they go unreminded and failed. So I don't want that to be the case. Support you and cheer you on, and hope that you do that. Many resolutions revolve around weight loss. Is that fair to say? For a lot of people, some of you guys are pure athletes and don't need it, but some of us, it's not that way. We're in shape. Thank you. Rounds of shape. Well, either we want to lose weight or get in shape physically, or, you know. As I was preparing for my sermon, I found a list of exercises that I want to encourage you guys not to be a part of. Okay? So I'm going to read these off. You may want to make note in your resolution. Just because. Exercises you shouldn't be a part of: jumping on the bandwagon, wading through paperwork, running around in circles, pushing your luck, that's for kids, okay, spinning your wheels, adding fuel to the fire, beating your head against the wall, climbing the walls an annoyance, marching to the beat of your own drum, dragging your heels, jumping to conclusions, grasping at straws, fishing for compliments, throwing your weight around, or passing the buck. Those are exercises you don't want to be a part of. Now, you'll probably be better to leave those alone. And during the New Year time, I think that we all think, and we all know this, New Year's a time of reflection. Now, it's on one part, it's kind of a great new. It's kind of a great time of the year because you're done with 16. Oh, all the bad things that happened in 2016. See ya, right? That's how you feel. You're like, those are over. 2017 starts. It's a new game. I got a new beginning. So that's a good part. But also, if you want to be wise, you reflect. Because you guys have heard other guys standing up here and saying, well, you just can't keep doing the same things you always do. Well, you're going to do that unless you reflect. So reflecting is part of the resolution that you guys do. And, you know, it's a time to look back and make corrections and review things. Make a couple of notes of things that didn't work and some things that did. To do things different. So in our text this morning, I'm going to read Joshua chapter 24, 1 through 15. And I want to talk about what I think is, this isn't a New Year's resolution, but it is a resolution. Joshua chapter 24, verse 1 says, "Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and he called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river, and I led him through all of the land of Canaan, and I multiplied his descendants, and I gave him Isaac. And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave Mount Seir, and to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst, and afterwards I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. But when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and he brought the sea upon them, and he covered them, and with your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness for a long time. And then I brought you into the land of the Amorites who lived beyond the Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand. And you took possession of their land when I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel and sent and summoned Balaam and the son of Beor to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam. So he had to bless you, and I delivered you from his hand. And you crossed the Jordan, and you came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hand. Then I sent the hornet before you, and it drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you. But not by your sword or your bow, I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you had lived in them, and you were eating of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers have served beyond the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, everybody seems to be familiar with chapter 24, verse 15. That's famous, right? You guys walk down a little patio, and people got it on the little stone in their sidewalk, and they got it on a sign in their house, and it's beautiful. But all those texts and verses before that are critically important to the understanding of Israel. Now, at this point, Joshua's getting old. If you look in chapter 23, it specifically says he's getting very old. He's about to depart from being the leader of the Hebrew nation of Israel. And he knows that. So he does a recut or a revamp or a reminder to them. And in this reminder, it's a lot like Moses, if you remember. Moses, prior to dying, he does a revamp with the Israelite people. And he reminds them of the commandments that they've been given. And he reminds them of where they've come, how far they've come. And then he dies and departs. Joshua takes leadership. So Joshua, having learned this detail, does the same. And he starts in the back of when things began. Well, you know, he reviews things that have happened in the past, and he points to them, and he comes to a sort of a resolution in his own life at the end. If you remember, the Israelite nation had a kind of a wily way about them with God. You know, they had a very up and down relationship. But when they had leadership, they seemed to be better and more sound. Joshua, trying to encourage them before he goes, gives them some instruction. And I want to take a look at those things. This morning, we can look at what Joshua tells them, and we're going to realize that we're in a very similar position to the Israelites. Not like our leader's dying kind of position, but in a position where he's asking them to look back. That's what I'm doing today. Look back. Look back at the year. Look back at what we've done. Look back at who we are as a body locally. Right? Where we're going. That's it. That's all I'm asking. I'm asking to see what we've accomplished, what we've not accomplished, what we've prayed about, what prayers God has answered and not answered. And then, of course, to look ahead, where we're going as a body, locally, and as a kingdom. You know, Joshua's first series of words, if you look at verses 1 through 5, I'm going to just kind of pinpoint through 1 through 5. He in verses 1 through 5 of chapter 24, he's asking them to remember. He didn't actually say the words remember, but you're going to see that's what he's doing. If you look real closely at 1 through 5, you're going to see that Joshua gathers the people together, and then he says to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel." And then he begins to explain their history and where they've come from. In verse 5, "Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in the midst, and afterwards I brought you out." Okay? So, he talks to them specifically about who they were, how they got there. And he says, "I brought you out." Out of where? Out of slavery, out of bondage. Right? It's a reminder of where you came from, how you got here. I don't know all your guys' stories. Some of you guys I know. Some of you guys I sat and discipled and talked with and were friends, close friends. Some I don't. But you know where you've come from. You know where God's brought you from. How far you've come. And that's really what Joshua's doing in the first five verses there. He's reciting something God had told them as a reminder about who they were. You were called out. We have something to relate to, right? Were you not, if you were in Christ, called out from this world to be different, set apart? You were. Sometimes we all have to be reminded, don't we? Not always the fact that it's new information or a new idea, but we need reminded. Why do you think we do this? Because it's brand new every week? No. Because God set things in place to remind us of the importance of the things that we needed to not forget. Same thing with Joshua and his people. He says, "Remember that you are a people who have been created and called out by God." And then he reminds them of the story of Abraham, a man who worshipped other gods, and he brought him out of the land beyond the Euphrates River, and he created through him a Hebrew nation. And he reminds them that they were descendants of Abraham and a called out people. People who were created to worship and serve one God, not many little g gods, as you guys would read. Joshua asked them to remember that they're special. Called out. As we make resolutions in the coming year, let's remember that we've been called out for a purpose. For the purpose of worship, praise, right? Glorification of Him and not ourselves. Then if we remember those things are our goal, then the things that we want become dimmer. If we can keep those in our sight. Remember that. We are heirs to the kingdom of God. The Scriptures are reminding us consistently that we're different from the world, a peculiar people, ambassadors for Christ. But look at the text, verses 6 through 13. The message begins to shift from this is who you were, you've been called out, this is how you got here, to something different. He reminds them not only that they've been called out, but God has cared for them. He specifically says, yeah, you're different, but look at all the things that I've brought you through. You look at verse 6, I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, what happened at the sea? You were up against the sea, the Egyptians were coming, you thought this was the end, that was it, what'd I do? I delivered you. Then he reminds them that he brought them out of the land of the Amorites beyond the Jordan, and that he fought for them, and he gave those people into his hand, and that they took possessions of the land and destroyed them before you. Then he reminds them of the kings that they had overcome with God. In verse 10, he reminds them that, this is what this guy wanted, but I said no. Verse 11, he reminds them when they crossed the Jordan, all those kingdoms that they had to fight, what did he do? I delivered them into your hands. And then, 12 and 13, he says what? I sent before you hornets, I drove them out, drove the kings of the Amorites out. Verse 13, I gave you land which you hadn't labored for, and cities which you didn't build. You lived in them, and you ate of the vineyards and olive groves you didn't plant. You got things you didn't deserve. He reminds them, this is who you are, this is where you came from, and this is how I cared for you. This is how I delivered you. You ever thought about how God has cared for you? You ever sat back and pondered, not just because it's a new year, but as a whole, of how far God has brought you? You know, sometimes I do it when I have an anniversary, and I think about my marriage, and man, how far we've come. Who we once were when we first got married. And why'd she stay with me? Or I think about those things. Or how many times it could have went bad. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. You know, this was one of those moments in which God, remember God speaking through Joshua. Joshua specifically says, and God said this. He's reminding them, I cared for you. You didn't even know at certain points I cared for you. You didn't labor for these things. I gave them to you. That's an event that we can relate to. That's something we can relate to. Right? We're not so proud to think that we did all these things ourselves, are we? As we make resolutions this year, I hope that you'll remember how God cared for you. All of us who are Christians here this morning specifically, can look and remember a time in our lives where God has cared for us and brought us about to the moment which we heard the message of the gospel of glory. Is it possible that all those things hadn't been put into place? That maybe something just didn't fall quite right? That you may not have heard, understood, saw? Can you remember a time when maybe you thought you wouldn't be able to keep going? Just having a tough time. You guys, I know you guys all have it together, and none of you guys really have anything that goes bad in your lives. So you probably don't relate to this, but you guys remember a time when you didn't have it all together? And you just thought, is this all worth it? Is this really worth it, whether it was your marriage, whether it was in regards to the kingdom or the local body at the church here, whether it was a friendship or work or whatever. I think a lot of us can relate to that moment which we asked ourselves, like, man, I don't know if I can keep doing this. and we wanted to quit. Time when you weren't sure whether things would really work out. Somehow with God's help, those challenges were defeated and you moved forward. Thanks be to God, right? God always cares for His people. We have hundreds, if not thousands, of examples, written examples here, and examples from each other. That's the power of testimony. It's the power of sharing each other's lives. Like, man, God has done these things for me. It seems like we don't do that a lot because we don't want people to think we're crazy or, I don't know, religious zealots of some sort, and we are careful about sharing those things, but man, why? I want to hear the successes that God brings in your life. I want to hear the triumphs that you have over sin and turmoil. You know, some of you guys, I get to see those things because we're so closely knit, whether it be through the school or the local body or work or whatever it is. You know, those are all encouragements. And I want to put that forward, that it's an encouragement to me specifically that, you know, that you guys understand that God takes care of His people and that you trust Him. Because trust is faith. No, things aren't always going to be rose gardens. I know that. And you guys have heard me say a million times, when you're discipling people and you're at the dining room table and you're on Bible studies, people got to know that you're an everyday person. They got to know that when you walk out, you understand that fights happen and shoes get thrown and plates get thrown or whatever happens in the house. Yeah, that you can understand. So I want to encourage you guys as a second point that you understand, like the Israelites, that you be reminded all the things that God's done to you, for you, that all the things that He's put into place, even things that you don't even know, and brought you success. Spiritually, physically. Then if you look, Joshua goes on to tell the people. It's kind of like verse 14. Take a look at it. It's kind of like his own renewal of faith. Verse 14 reads, he's done. If you notice, the quote from God is over in verse 13. In verse 14, it picks up his own words. And he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers have served beyond the river Egypt and serve the Lord." Now, I found this a strange statement because think about what he said. "Therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth." Do you think there's actually people who serve Him and they're not sincere? Is that possible? Do you think that it may be an epidemic at some point when members of the body serve Him out of something else other than sincerity? They're just doing what they do because I did my good deed for the day, or I didn't do my bad deed. It's not just us who need reminded of those things. Even they, back then, need reminded to serve with sincerity and truth. Be sincere in the things you do. I know that you guys, some of you guys like sarcasm. And you guys like, you know, you get off on it. Which sometimes is funny. But the kind of sarcasm that's delivered in an irritating way, it's not productive for the kingdom. I just want you guys to know that sincerity is something. It's a lost art these days. People just, they do things and they don't even know why. They just do them because other people do them. I was talking to the youth group last week, and I was like, "Do the things that you see on TV change your perspective in your mind on how you want to look or how you want to act?" And they're like, first they're like, some of them are yes, some of them are no. I'm like, well then, why is it that five of you guys all got the same soccer haircut? Where'd you see that? Well, Ronaldo has it. Whoop-de-doo. Ronaldo has it. So you thought that because Ronaldo had it, it was cool, right? I mean, they just did something because someone else did it, right? It was just part of the gig, and it becomes part of our culture. So I guess all I'm trying to say is that the point out of the text is Joshua is this giving them this reminder because they need it, and we all need it, that we serve in sincerity. Yeah, we renew all kinds of things, don't we? Driver's license, tags, family video memberships, insurance, like car insurance, homeowners insurance. We renew a lot. We renew a lot of things. For those people that may own businesses or something like that, you know that there's a lot of stuff to be done at the end of the year with renewals. But Joshua tells them, when you remember all that the Lord has done for you, it should help you renew your faith. And that's exactly what he does in 15. He says, if it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves the day whom you'll serve. Whether the little g gods which your fathers served and which you were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A reminder from God of where they came from and what he had done to bring him there renewed his faith. I'm hoping that whatever you guys choose to do for your resolution, if you pick one or you don't, that even if you don't pick a resolution, that you're resolved to be faithful. That you're reinvigorated to be faithful by the examples of our brother. Of our brother. Not just here, but in here. That the things we see in each other will renew our faith to keep going. Not just to just survive, but to excel, to be the body that God desires us to be. Right? The light. I looked up a word there in Hebrew. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The Hebrew word there, of serve, is abad, A-W-B-A-D, in English. It shows action. And it means that they were going to be moving. As for me and my house, we're going to be moving. I thought that was really interesting. We're going to be serving. Doing something. You know, you guys know that everybody thinks they're really smart these days, especially with Google. Like, everybody thinks they know everything. And it's interesting, like, oh, yeah. And people do, they know more because of things like Google. Like, I mean, me and Bob talked about this the other day. You know, you want to change the alternator on your car? YouTube it. I mean, you can do anything with YouTube, right? That's otherwise something you would not have known how to do without being shown by somebody else. So we're all a little smarter from the internet, but we're also a little too confident of the things we actually think we know or do. Because you've seen it doesn't mean you've done it. I want to be an encouragement to you guys to say this. Stop talking about what you know or do and just do the work. Just do it. It'll be obvious, it'll be evident through who you are and what you accomplished for Christ that people are going to see what you do and want to be a part of it. And it's not going to bring glory to you, but to Him if you have the right mindset. So, you know, if you have a resolution, let it be that you're going to work. You're going to move, like Joshua said. Serve. As we finish, I want to be an encouragement that you guys can hold me accountable for the things I'm doing here at the local body. Not as a leader, but just as a brother. That I want to be a good example to you. It's my resolution to be resolved to serve in such a way that you're going to see me and you're going to be encouraged by it. And I hope and pray that you do the same. So I challenge you to have a resolution to do those things. Let's pray. Father God, we humble ourselves in your sight and know that it is only by your mighty hand that we are anything. And without Jesus, whom you have sent for us, we are nothing with no hope. And I just pray, God, that it will be renewed in our hearts, renewed in our minds. Father God, we would have the mind to serve you and to give you the glory that you deserve. And that as our mind is focused on the Scripture, the reminder of those who have come before us, those from Israel, Father God, who have been reminded of what you did for them, that we would be reminded of what you did for us too. Not just Jesus, but in our own individual lives, what you brought about to bring us to this point, what you brought about to bring us our spouse, our faithful spouse, what you've done, God, that we don't even know, that we have reaped the benefit of, like those before us who had olive groves and vineyards that they didn't plant. God, I pray that we would, as a body, focus on the things that are going to bring you glory and not ourselves. Father, we lift you up, honor you, and praise you. In Christ's name, amen. Have a great day, guys.